here with the dragons, are we back up in here? Spit fire from the back of your ears, coming straight from the belly of the beast that's in the back of your ear, whispering shit that's got you clapping your rear. This panic and fear is damaging. Radical stages of behavior that's got you on a scat eating, looking for the big bite. Hello, it's Brent, and I'm back with another episode of We Are NXT UK. And we've got two shows to talk about this week because we didn't do a Worlds Collide specific recap show. I had considered doing it, but I had a show of my own this past Saturday. I didn't get to see Worlds Collide live. I was victorious in my efforts on Saturday, so that's cool for me and whatnot. So then I just had a lot of wrestling to catch up on as the weekend progressed, and Royal Rumble was live. Caught that, got to finally get around to Worlds Collide on Monday. And so we're going to talk about that, plus this week's episode of NXT UK. So yeah, let's just get right into it. Worlds Collide was a pretty fun show. It was really interesting to see a show that would normally be in like the takeover slot the day before one of the big four pay-per-views. And it really didn't feel like a takeover show because outside of Imperium and Undisputed Era, there really wasn't like a strong feud going into the show. Like, obviously, all the matches had been built on TV, but like Rhea Ripley and Toni Storm just sort of happened because they wanted to do the match, and DIY Mustache Mountain was a dream match, and Balor and Dragunov was kind of a dream match. And then we had, of course, the Cruiserweight title, which might have the most intriguing result for listeners of this show and in general, truthfully. Running it down real quick, the show opened with Finn Balor and going over Ilya Dragunov. Great hard-hitting match, really fun. The crowd is a very pro-Finn Balor crowd, and I kind of got the feeling it was going to be that way the entire night with the NXT having the crowd support over NXT UK. I think the crowd knew who everybody was, but I don't know that NXT UK has quite the viewership in the United States that it needs in order for them to properly do a show like this quite yet. I mean, obviously, like, Mustache Mountain have been on NXT and have been on NXT TakeOvers and whatnot, and everyone's pretty familiar with them. But, like, Dragunov, I think, is still kind of somebody that a lot of people don't really know over here, like, because I guess you really wouldn't know him unless you do watch NXT UK. So the crowd was, like, 90% in supporting Finn Balor, and not surprised. The NXT universe loves Finn Balor. He's attempted to be a heel on NXT, and it's not really working. He was victorious over Ilya Dragunov, hit the coup de grace into the 1916 DDT, and picked up the victory. So 1-0 NXT. I'm gonna skip over the second match and talk about that at the end. DIY and Mustache Mountain was everything that you would hope it would be. Just a picture-perfect dream tag team match. Everybody hit all their big moves, their big tag team moves, and it was just it was like a love letter to the fans. I mean, and the match could have gone either way, but DIY did end up winning. I think that's probably necessary because TakeOver Portland is coming up, and so this way you give Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano both a marquee victory before they have their respective singles matches against the aforementioned Balor and Adam Cole. Rhea Ripley and Toni Storm for the NXT Women's Championship. These two never fail to deliver. This is third or fourth time we've seen them paired up against each other in a big match, and it's always a lot of fun, always a really good back and forth. They know each other really well at this point, and did previously. I mean, they kind of came up in Australia in the wrestling scene together, and
So this was cool, and this does have kind of some storyline implications, which we'll kind of get to later on. But you know, things are going on with Toni Storm and her character, and this was really strange to see, like, Toni Storm in kind of the heel-ish role against Rhea Ripley, like, who's total babyface at this point. And it's still kind of strange to see Rhea Ripley with, like, the whole crowd behind her, but I mean, I've sort of always felt like this was coming. I mean, what's not to love about Rhea Ripley? She's got an awesome look, a killer moveset, and a great, like, attitude. Like her character's attitude of just being a total badass who can kill everyone and knows it. And just love it. She just radiates confidence, and what's not to like? Then again, what's not to like about Toni Storm, too? I mean, put those two on any takeover or pay-per-view or whatever, anytime, and I'll appreciate it. The main event was Imperium and Undisputed Era, and it was a half hour of them going absolutely crazy. It was very back and forth and action-packed. Imperium does get the win here. Adam Cole didn't eat the pin. I think it was, I can't remember now because it's been a few days, and I probably should have had this handy, but Walter powerbombed, I think it was Roderick Strong ate the pin. For Undisputed Era, but it feels like this rivalry is not yet finished, and I think this could lead to more something else down the line. I think we're inevitably going to get an Adam Cole Walter one-on-one match. I feel like that just needs to happen, and I think everybody would love that, and you know, Adam Cole would make Walter look like a killer, and you know, I just think they would work great together. The other match, though, the match that was second on the card that we skipped over, the Cruiserweight Championship match, this one, the result definitely surprised me. I was not expecting a title change on this show, but Jordan Devlin, in an action-packed 20-minute Cruiserweight spot fest that just, it was awesome. Jordan Devlin becomes the new NXT Cruiserweight Champion. And this is really interesting as far as at this point, at the point that Worlds Collide happened, we'd only seen one of the six episodes of NXT UK from York. And so I'm wondering if Jordan Devlin appears at all the rest of the time on during these NXT UK tapings. He's scheduled to make his first appearance at Full Sail on NXT next week. So I'm wondering, is he going to be part of both brands? Is he now, by virtue of winning this championship, is he only going to be on NXT? What's going to happen? I'm really interested in seeing where this goes. But, I mean, kudos. Like, Jordan Devlin deserves it. This is it's awesome for him. I would love to see the Cruiserweight title defended on NXT UK as well. It's just, obviously, it's a little bit tricky with NXT UK being taped and NXT being live. It would, the everything being synchronized would work out so much better if both shows were live, but I do kind of enjoy the taped format, though, because you get a chance, I think, to see like more stars than maybe you normally would. Some of these feuds did build a little bit more on NXT, and I guess it would be worth noting, Finn Balor had a match with Trent Seven that was very competitive, but Balor did end up going over. And Mustache Mountain, it seems like, are playing into this Balor-Gargano feud a good bit, and that's another thing where things get kind of crazy, because it's like they're involved in multiple angles at the same time. And, you know, that's totally fine. It's just, you know, kind of funny to see one thing happen one day and then the next day somebody's involved in something totally different and they're not even mentioning what had just happened on the Wednesday show or whatever. So that's just a little bit goofy, I guess we could maybe say. And the Broserweights were victorious on NXT this week over grizzled young veterans to win the Dusty Cup and a shot at the tag team champion. So go Pete Dunne. He might be about to get his hands on another piece of NXT gold at TakeOver Portland in February. So, Worlds Collide, yay, nay, what did you guys think? Let us know. Is it a good concept? Is it something that they should continue doing in the future? Maybe once a year, you know, maybe Royal Rumble weekend. Is it a cool idea? It looked like it was a reasonably full crowd, but I don't think it was as full as like a TakeOver crowd would be. It seemed like they weren't really showing the upper bowl from any of the camera angles, and I'm wondering if that was because, you know, maybe it wasn't quite as full up top. So we'll see. I mean, again, I guess maybe, you know, NXT UK doesn't have quite the audience in the United States that it needs yet for this thing to be like a really, really big deal to an American crowd. But God, I know if this show would have happened in the UK that the crowd would have been going bonkers. And so at the end of the day, you know, NXT won 3 of the matches. NXT UK winning 2, but one of them was a big 8-person tag, so it kind of all worked out, I think, as far as the number of people representing each brand being victorious. So both brands definitely looked strong over the course of that show. So NXT UK for this week, pretty good show. We hear in the intro, we hear all about Worlds Collide, and Tom Phillips let us know that there are other things to be dealt with, other feuds and issues that need to be dealt with over here, or over there, I guess it would be, on UK soil. So here we go, opening match, Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch versus The Hunt. I just love Burch and Lorcan being in NXT UK. I feel like this is the show that they really belong on. I think this is the show they can really thrive on. They've had like a decent run on NXT, but I really think that they would fit in perfectly with NXT UK's tag division, and I think their style suits the British wrestling audience better from what I can see. I mean, they just their moveset and the way that they carry themselves to the ring and whatnot. They just feels like a team that really could thrive on UK. So this was a fun little match. Some really nice chain wrestling started off, but it didn't take long for it to become very physical. There were some nasty strikes in there. Burch and Lorcan were kind of working the role of heels, although this is really kind of a face versus face match. But you know, often it's nice when one of the combatants or teams or whatever can kind of take over that heel role and sort of work some heat. But they did multiple like short heat spots with the Hunt breaking free and making a couple of hot tags, or I suppose maybe they were room temperature tags because they didn't really work too much heat. But at one point I had to laugh because Wild Boar was in an abdominal stretch, and as a babyface he bit his way out of it. But it totally works for their characters, you know. I mean, it would make sense for them to bite and claw and scratch their way out of moves. Lorcan and Burch hit an assisted powerbomb for 2. Wild Boar has a vicious-looking cannonball. I love it. He just launches his body into people. It looks totally wicked. I love it. Action broke down, and Wild Boar missed a splash on the floor, and that allowed Lorcan and Burch to hit a double team like spike DDT combo for 3. Not a super long match, but a perfectly serviceable opener. And I'm hoping that this might be signaling that we'll be seeing more of Lorcan and Burch on NXT UK, because giving them a big win over a team that honestly could probably use a big win of their own seems to me anyway, to mean that maybe we should expect to see more of them on this show. In fact, there's a segment later on that should lead us to believe the same thing. Now we get backstage to Toni Storm, and she is pretty upset when asked what went wrong over her, the last couple of matches we've seen her in, where she's come up short in her title opportunities. Very short and simple. Kaylee Ray is still in her head, and she says, this has to end. So color me intrigued. I'm wondering where this is going to go. Tony's demeanor is definitely that of somebody who is troubled. It feels like Tony is walking the fine line between, you know, that tweener line where she's just wound up and just ready to snap at any moment. And I don't know how I feel about it, because I just don't want to see Tony Storm in a heel role. And I almost feel like it could, trying to make her a true heel could just totally backfire, whereas, you know, where everybody will just cheer her anyway. Kind of like Becky Lynch at the end of 2018, when they tried to make her a heel and it didn't work at all. It was never going to. But I could see that maybe being the case here. So the Storm Kaylee Ray rivalry, definitely not over. So we will see what becomes of that next. Let me get back out to the ring, and Eddie Dennis is here, and he is very proud of himself for what he did to Trent Seven back at TakeOver Blackpool. He says, I did this. And then we see multiple angles of the replay of when he hit the big a Splash Mountain, or you know, Razor's Edge, depending on where you're from or, you know, what you want to call it. But he threw Trent Seven over the top rope, and he hit the barricade and crushed an unfortunate crew member. You know, he's kind of trying to place the blame on the referee, saying the ref forced his hand because he wouldn't move. And he just describes the scene over and over again. I threw Trent Seven out, but blah, blah, blah. Here comes Trent. And Eddie said Eddie a bunch of times. And he says, you're boring, you're a liar, and you're a cheat. he was says he, even though the record books will always say that Eddie Dennis did beat Trent Seven at TakeOver Blackpool 2, there are some details that we need to make sure are not missed here. He removes the turnbuckle pad, which came off very easily. What Trent proposes here is a four corners of exposed steel street fight. He wants to take all the turnbuckle pads off of all the corners and then have a street fight. And it doesn't matter where it ends up, in the building, out of the building, whatever. And it turns out we're getting that match next week. So apparently Trent Seven can just make his own matches. And Eddie Dennis even pointed that out on Twitter. So that will be fun. That could be the entire hour next week, and I don't think I would even be able to be upset about that. We jump to a pre-tape with Tyler Bate, who was being asked about his match at TakeOver, and he didn't even get a couple of words out before A-Kid just kind of runs up and sits next to him, interrupts the interview, and he was admiring Tyler Bate and his performance at TakeOver, and he says that he wants to have those kinds of opportunities as well. So Tyler Bate takes it upon himself to decide that sounds like a good idea, and they're going to have themselves a match. And it sounds like it's going to take place next week. So, good. Looking forward to that. This is supposed to be Tyler Bate's protege, so we'll see what route they go here. This would be huge for Tyler Bate to put A-Kid over in this match, and I don't think the loss would hurt Tyler Bate at all, especially with him coming off of the big win against Jordan Devlin. So this will be interesting, and I'm sure the match is going to be absolutely spectacular. I will not say this name correctly because it was repeated once, and Ife Valkyrie, I believe. I know the last name's Valkyrie. There's another well-known wrestler with the last name Valkyrie, Taya Valkyrie. But this was a really cool vignette they filmed. It looks like they're really going to try to make her a really big deal on the show, based on just the effort that went into the cinematography for this 20-second trailer. But she's debuting on NXT UK in 2 weeks, so excited about that. And that transitioned us into the women's match, and we haven't had a women's match on NXT UK in a couple weeks, so this was good to see. And we haven't seen either of these women competitors in a good bit. But Nina Samuels against Isla Dawn, they are familiar with each other. They've wrestled on NXT UK a few times. Always a good match. I feel like Isla Dawn is totally a future superstar. I think she has a great look. Her gear is cool. She's got a lot of talent in the ring. I see her like just steadily getting better and better every time, and I think that she has a really bright future. I think they could really get behind her and give her a big push anytime now, and it would be awesome. So we got some really good chain wrestling to start things off. Some reversals, some counters, some different holds. In a really cool spot, Isla Dawn had went for hit the ropes and do the roll up, and Nina threw her off, and Isla rolled backwards and landed in the splits and just smiled at Nina. That was a pretty cool taunt. Isla missed a big high knee in the corner and flipped all the way to the outside of the ring. As she got back on the apron, Samuels did a big like a handstand kick to Dawn, knocked her off the apron, hit her with a drop toe hold right into the apron, back into the ring. Nina Samuels she's got some really cool innovative offense. She did like a backspring corkscrew leg drop that got two. Really cool move. Probably more appropriate for a baby face, but Samuels is kind of trying to be a show off and wants the spotlight on her, so I guess that's pretty much makes sense. Samuels hit the double knees in the corner, but then she attempted them a second time and missed. Isla rolls out of the corner. We got a number of counters and reversals, but it all leads to Nina Samuels going up to the middle rope, but Isla Dawn shoots in real quick and hits a 619 that knocks her off of the ropes into the middle of the ring. She hit the Meteora and then followed that up with the half Nelson bridging German suplex, and that got the three. So I'm assuming that is like her finishing move / hold. It feels like it kind of happens out of nowhere every time, but I know I've seen her win a couple of matches with that at this point. So good for her. Isla Dawn getting a big, much needed win over Nina Samuels here on NXT UK this week. Backstage, Ilya Dragunov talks about the match with Finn Balor. He says that he's searching for these big battlegrounds, and Finn gave him one. Points out that Finn said, "Don't miss," and that he didn't miss. Did you see his nose? For those of you who didn't, it was bleeding. So Dragunov says he did not miss, and he's looking for Joe Coffey because they've got a little bit of unfinished business to take care of. So I'm assuming we're going to see that match at some point during the shows emanating from York. Easy for me to say. And here's that backstage segment. Birch and Lorcan are backstage with Radzi, and they are here to throw them up, and they want the tag team titles. So I guess we're going to see them sticking around for a little bit here on UK. I would anticipate that they're going to probably rack up some more big wins against some of the stiff competition here in UK, maybe against Imperium, maybe against Grizzled Young Veterans, who knows, but put them in there with Southwell Subculture. That would be an awesome match, but it looks like they're gunning for the Gallus Boys in the tag team titles, so I will look forward to that one if it does in fact play out. Third match, Tyson T-Bone versus Ridge Holland. Unfortunately, I kind of knew how this was going to go before it even started, but Ridge Holland doesn't wear knee pads, and I don't get it. But Tyler Bate doesn't wear them either. I don't get it. I don't get how anybody can just not wear knee pads. I don't get it. I never will. But good for them for being tougher than I am. This was just a fight. It was a total strike war. Just punches and forearms and overhand forearms and strikes and more strikes. And Ridge hit an overhead belly to belly, and then there were some more strikes. And then Tyson T-Bone hit his own kind of overhead suplex. They both got one counts. And then more strikes and kicks and punches. And just two big guys just beating the crap out of each other. And it was good fun. And then Ridge hit the Northern Grit for three. short match. Tyson T-Bone at this point is kind of being used as enhancement talent on UK, but he's a really cool, got a really great look, and is an awesome competitor. And so, you know, that obviously established, there needs to be established guys that other people can kind of go over, but, you know, it would be cool to see T-Bone kind of get something soon. He's been good for the company. So, main event, Flash Morgan Webster, Mark Andrews, and Bomber Dave Mastiff versus Fabian Aichner, Marcel Bartel, and Alexander Wolf of Imperium. And this was as good as you would expect it to be, which is what a fun match. It was Andrews and Bartel to start, and started out just a little bit slow with just some standard wrestling. Nothing wrong with that. Bartel at one point was literally holding Mark Andrews in a hammerlock with one arm and had his other arm behind his back, that kind of proper way that Imperium will walk around or pose with their arms behind their back. They did that with a hammerlock on Andrews, but it didn't even look bad because there's such a size difference between South Wales subculture and a lot of other people, including everybody in Imperium. Quick tags here. Aichner got in and started working the arm, but Andrews rolled out, kicked him, and got it tagged to Webster. We got some double drop kicks, and then switch it out really quick. Webster and Wolf were in there, and I don't even know how to describe this arm drag that Webster hit, but it was just, it was like, whoa, what just happened? He kind of got himself completely horizontal in the air and just, I don't even know. It was just really impressive, and kudos to Wolf for making that look so good. Now here came Mastiff to murder everybody. He came in there and just bumped everybody around and threw some guys around a little bit, but then tagged out pretty quickly. Had Mark Andrews back in, and he's flying all over the place, and then Webster came back in, and they're flying all over the place, and Mastiff came in and hit a stalling vertical suplex that lasted about 6 years, and then just threw Mark Andrews into the orbit of Saturn, and he landed on Bartel for two. I could really get used to these three teaming up. I mean, it's you got the two smaller guys and the one big guy who can, you know, literally throw them around as part of their group offense. And, you know, big guy, little guy matches where their opponents are a lot of fun. And that's kind of my favorite thing to do when I'm participating in the grapples. But big guy, little guy teams are a totally different level of fun because you can do stuff like this and it's great. After a lot of tandem offense and quick, high octane, fast paced offense, Wolf finally, cuts everything off with an absolutely murderous release German suplex to Flash Morgan Webster. I mean, he snapped him over, and Webster like lands on his shoulders, and oh, it looked just so brutal. I mean, just it, and just immediately, the tone of the match changed. Aichner came in and chopped Webster in the next week. They got him onto the outside, and they're just slowly taking him apart. But kind of a surprisingly short heat, even though they beat the crap out of Webster for a good bit. Webster managed to avoid a maneuver and did a big flip out of the heel corner, and Mastiff got the hot tag, and Mastiff came back in and killed everybody for a second time. just really fun stuff in this match. Imperium cut off a double team attempt at one point, and they tried to launch Mark Andrews into that vertical suplex finishing maneuver of theirs, but Andrews actually carried the momentum forward and hit the Stun Dog Millionaire. Everything starts breaking down, and we get the South Wales subculture traditional double dive spot with the twin somersault planches to the outside. For a second, it looked like Mastiff was really going to like hit the ropes and dive, but instead, he backdropped a charging Alexander Wolf over the top rope onto his teammates, and then as Imperium were getting to their feet, Mastiff got to the outside and did the Cactus Jack big roll to the outside, taking out everybody. And then here's Walter. Comes Walter out of nowhere after that to go after Mastiff. But Mastiff just levels him. And this got me excited because I'm like, okay. Are we you know, we're apparently going to get Mastiff and Walter. And I just wonder at what point is this going to happen, during the York tapings, or are we going to get this as the obligatory NXT UK championship match at TakeOver WrestleMania weekend? So at TakeOver Tampa, will we get the two big guys just beating the tar out of each other? God, I hope so, because I would love to see these two go at it for like 25 minutes on a TakeOver level stage. Well, at a TakeOver, to have a TakeOver quality match between these two would just be awesome. Unfortunately, that distraction did end up costing the match. Imperium were able to regain control, and they did hit the catapult brainbuster on Mark Andrews for the three. Great match, though. We could see this again at some point, just these six, and I would be really happy with that. You can't have Andrews and Webster in there without it being just a really fun match. They're always so exciting and entertaining to watch. The action is too fast to even keep up with. The number of different ways they know how to drop kick people or just throw their bodies at people as their part of their offense is just amazing. And then when they're getting their asses handed to them too, it just looks devastating. Just because of the general size difference between them and a lot of their opponents, it just looks like they're just taking a beating, and yet they're so resilient. Just love those guys. And then the juxtaposition of Big Dave Mastiff there with them, just really cool stuff. So again, next week, it looks like we're going to get Tyler Bate versus A-Kid one-on-one, and it looks like we're also going to get Trent Seven versus Eddie Dennis in a Four Corners of Steel street fight. I'm assuming that will be the main event. I have no idea what to expect outside of just a lot of violence. I don't even have a prediction of who's going to come out on top, really, of either of these matches, but a couple of pretty important one-on-one matches for the members of Mustache Mountain. And I'm assuming we'll see a couple of other singles or tag matches next week. Maybe we'll see. We haven't seen Zaya Brookside in a few. It would be cool to see her. Maybe we'll hear from our NXT UK Women's Champion. I don't know. I don't know what to expect, but I know that it's going to be good. I know that it'll be a lot of fun because NXT UK always is, and we will be here next week again to talk about all of it. I will have a tag team partner with me again on the next one as well. Lee is currently he's on the East Coast for a hockey run. I think he's going to a couple Nashville Predators games. I think against the Washington Capitals and New Jersey Devils, I think, if I'm not mistaken. But so he's out east right now, or maybe Philly. He may have gone to Philly, but I think it was Washington and in Jersey he was seeing. But so he's out there. Mia was unavailable for this one due to prior engagements, and so had to fly solo, but hopefully I held it down for you guys. I did my best. I always try really hard. Thank you for hanging out with us. We'll be back next week to cover the third episode from the York tapings and also just preview anything that's coming up that's NXT UK related. TakeOver Portland is coming up, and there are some NXT UK or former NXT UK stars that are going to be part of that. Rhea Ripley versus Bianca Belair for the NXT Women's Championship. Tyler Bate in the tag team title match on that show. So, I really have a really good feeling about this TakeOver. I think TakeOver Portland is going to be awesome. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a big fan of Portland in general as a city and also of their basketball team. But it's shaping up to be a really good show. I mean, Finn Balor and Johnny Gargano just inject that directly into my veins. I can't wait. I've been waiting for that match forever, and we're finally gonna get it, and I can't wait. So we are NXT UK on Instagram and Twitter. You can follow me at BrentFFF on Instagram and Twitter. And we will be back next week, same place. Thank you very much. Drive safe. Have a good evening.